We come now to the end of this sermon of Christ. He's been teaching you about how to act. Oftentimes this section, the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount, which are similar, oftentimes these are used as sort of teachings of Christ on how to be nice, how to be good people. And if we just all the world implemented these things and tried a little harder, then we would be all right. But that's not what Jesus is getting at in this. And we see that here as he comes to the end of this sermon and he begins speaking about trees and their fruit. So the question is, has often come up in the history of mankind, not just in the church, but in the history of mankind, is man basically good or basically bad or somewhere in between? The question has puzzled people. People have been adamant on one side or another. People don't really want to think of themselves as being bad. If you ask someone if they are a bad person, it doesn't matter their background, oftentimes they will set the bar of evil just a little above them. If a man is fairly moral, then perhaps his bar of evil would be cheating on a spouse. If a man is cheating on his spouse, well, then it's the murderers that are evil. And the murderers will have perhaps the pedophiles or something. Everybody wants to move the bar a little bit above themselves so they don't have to think of themselves as evil. And this is something that we have constantly as we think about ethics, morals, good and evil. Is there such a thing? This was actually a big issue in the early church. When talking about salvation, a man named Pelagius, he was concerned that people in the church were not acting well. They were calling themselves Christians, but they weren't living any different than the world. And he was concerned about this. But he believed that man was basically good, and so that Christians just needed to apply themselves. In fact, that was the problem with the world, is people just were not applying themselves to their basic goodness. They just needed to work a little harder at it. If we could all just work a little harder. Well, the great theologian Augustine countered this, and he showed from the scripture that this was an error. This is a heresy. The scripture shows that man is sinful. Man has a corrupted nature and in himself is not capable of doing what is truly good, what is good in God's eyes. You see, there's a difference in what we see as good and what God sees as good. If we were to go into any church today, just walk down the street and go to a church, and you ask the people in the pews, the leadership of the church, the pastor of the church, you would probably get a wide variety of answers on this very basic question. Is man basically good, basically bad? Is man able just to do good things and thus please God? What does the scripture say? What does Jesus teach? Jesus teaches here that bad trees bear bad fruit. Good trees bear good fruit. The fruit of sin proves that the tree is bad. There's a rotten core. That it's the wrong kind of tree. Jesus teaches that to do good in God's sight, you must be changed. You must be fundamentally in your nature changed. You must be born again. If you are to please God, if you are to do what is truly good in God's sight, you must be born again. And you who are born again must do what pleases God. That's going to be our main point this morning. To do what is good in God's sight, you must be born again. And if you are born again, you must do what pleases God. Let's look at some passages on man's condition. I'll give you a few passages. We could go a number of places, but I'll set just a few before you. First is Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Psalm 14, which Paul uses and quotes in Romans chapter 3, says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. In John chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, telling him about the love of God, we love John 3:16. But he says, just after that passage, John 3:16, in which he tells of the love of God in sending the Son, he says in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the judgment, the light, that is Christ, has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The Bible clearly teaches that man, in his natural state, is evil. He has done what displeases God. Even though we like to think of ourselves as basically good, and even we think about our neighbors, and you think about, well, they're kind neighbors, that you can have neighbors that aren't Christian, and they bring you maybe they're welcoming to you, that maybe they bring you a meal when you're sick. They can do things that seem to us to be good. You think, I spent some time reading military history. One of the things that you see there are these acts of heroism. Completely, somebody who sacrifices their own body, their own life for someone else. And we see that is a good act. That is a selfless act. Someone who goes and gives themselves. Or you can think of policemen or firemen who rush into a burning building and give their lives to save other people. And we look at that and we say, that's a good thing. It's a heroic act. But why do we see that as a heroic act? Because in war, normally people are just trying to help themselves. And you read military history and you find that man can be barbaric. Man can do unspeakable acts. I've been reading a book on the sinking of the USS Juno, and just some of the ways after all law and restraint is cast off, the ways in which man can act in an evil way when he's not restrained by law and order. We see what man can become. But thankfully, God restrains even hardened people from being as bad as they could be. We have restraints of law enforcement and government that keep man from being as bad as he could be. But the Bible still doesn't see this as good in God's sight. These are not acts of righteousness. God, the Bible really knows nothing of man being basically good. There is something wrong with man. It's a tough pill to swallow. It is something difficult to think about, because we don't want to think that badly of other people, especially when they do nice things. But you see, in Scripture, there's a different criteria for what is good. We might have one bar of what is good. We can say, yes, self-sacrifice, being nice to people, that is, humanly speaking, a good thing. It's better than stealing somebody's stuff. It's better than beating them up, to be kind. But it doesn't rise to the level of goodness in God's sight. It is not righteous in God's sight because it is tainted with sin. And Jesus gives you this crystal clear example. He gives you an illustration. He says, the bad tree bears bad fruit, the fruit of sin. All people sin. All fall short of the glory of God. So if that's the case, then we're all bad trees. So when we look at good works, and we say that a Christian is doing good works and it's good in the sight of God, it's not because the Christian is better than everybody else, because we were bad trees as well. There is something that is needing to change. So Jesus gives you this illustration of picking figs from a thorn bush or grapes picked from a bramble bush. It's ridiculous to think of that. You go out in the woods and you see the poison ivy vine and it has berries on it. Those aren't grapes. No matter how much the poison ivy vine wants to be a grapevine, it can't. It's bearing fruit, but it's evil fruit. It's bad fruit. You can think of any number of plants and say, that is a poisonous plant. The pokeberry or pokeweed, whichever one you call it, it's not a good plant. It's a poisonous plant. No matter how much it might look like it's bearing tasty fruit, it's poisonous fruit. The bad plant bears bad fruit. It has no capability to change itself into a good fruit. We need something completely changed in us. And you see the helplessness of man in this. We can't just simply by our own will, by desiring to have good fruit, by desiring to keep these rules that Jesus gives, we can't change our nature. We're helpless. Man's plight is helpless without some outside source, without something coming to him, something changing, something foreign, something alien to himself, because we're bad trees. We can't just simply decide to change. So how can a thorn bush become a fig tree? How can a bramble become a grapevine that bears good fruit? That's where the gospel comes in. Because our plight is helpless. We can't just simply by willing ourselves to do nice things be pleasing to God. Jesus says, going back to John 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Going back to our main point, to do what is good in God's sight, you must be born again. If you are born again, you must do what pleases God. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can be changed fundamentally, that we can be changed from a rotten tree bearing rotten fruit into a good tree that bears good fruit. You see, our good works are still tainted by sin. So we still, as believers, we are changed into the good tree, but that doesn't mean we're sinless, does it? And so we still, as believers, we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need His goodness. So it's not that Christians are better than everybody else, and so that's why God is pleased with us. It's because God is pleased with Jesus Christ, His Son. And as we are in the Son, as we are in Christ, and we have His righteousness, that's when God is pleased with us. His works rise to the level of goodness. His righteousness is righteous in God's sight. You aren't righteous in God's sight because of the good things you do. And when you see how Jesus is teaching this, you understand that righteousness cannot come by works. Salvation cannot come by works. This is something that we have gotten wrong so many times in the history of the church. We tend to start sliding over into doing good works because it will save us. And if we do bad things, if we slide into sin, then we're going to lose our salvation. And this idea that we kind of slide in and out of being saved based on what we're doing, that's not what Scripture teaches. You're either a good tree or a bad tree. You're either the fig tree or the bramble bush. You can't be somewhere in between, changing back and forth based on the fruit that you bear. Jesus shows you here that this is, you are one or the other. And the fruit you bear is based on who you are in Him. And so our works can't save us. And that's what we're looking at in the confession that we on that section on good works. This is showing who you are. It's demonstrating who you are in Christ. It doesn't save you. And praise God for that. Because if it was dependent on us to do good things and save ourselves, we would all be hopeless. Because even our best actions are still woven together with sinful hearts because of the remaining sin that is in us. Those who are born again must do what pleases God. Those who are born again must do what pleases God. So we have the nature changed. But when your nature is changed as a believer, you're born again, you must do what pleases God. Jesus says in verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure, or the good storehouse, the supply, what is stored away, produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is inside comes out eventually. It doesn't matter how hard you try to press it down, what is inside comes out. So if you're born again, if you're a believer, you must be producing good fruit. That is the evidence of who you are. There are a few passages I would turn your attention to just to demonstrate from Scripture. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked and were by nature children of wrath. He's talking to the church. He's talking to people. In this is chapter 2. In chapter 1, he's talking about our adoption as children. That in all eternity, God had chosen to adopt us, elected us for adoption as children. So he's speaking to Christians. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You were by nature children of wrath. You were bad trees. You were rotten trees. But even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's in Christ that we have good works. And it's in Christ that we're pleasing to God. It's in Christ that we go from being a rotten tree producing rotten fruit to the good tree producing good fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says that, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he goes on, do not be deceived. And he lists all of these heinous sins and greed and thievery and drunkenness and adultery and homosexuality. And he says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Such were some of you. As you have been saved, you must leave that behind. You've been saved, you've been cleansed. It's because of Jesus Christ, the work of the God's Spirit, the decree of the Father, all of the entire Trinity coming together for your salvation. And because He has made you into something different, because you are born again, you must bear good fruit. You must leave the old behind. Leave the rotten fruit behind. Romans 6, Paul deals with this. He talks about sin. And since God's so gracious to believers, so forgiving, should we continue sinning? If God's grace abounds to even the chief of sinners, is it okay to live in sin? Romans 6, Paul says, verse 2, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him in baptism, by baptism into death, that in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That passage isn't talking about the mode of baptism and how you are supposed to dunk people. It's talking about the Christian's union with Christ. That as we have come to Christ and been baptized, and He has done His work in us, we have been freed. Through His death, we have died to sin. We've been freed. We've been set at liberty from the chains of sin, the bondage that we had to sin. And He says, you have to walk in newness of life. You have to walk as someone who's been set free from sin. He goes on, we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And Paul goes on and speaks about the anguish, the personal anguish of as he desires to do what pleases God, and yet his flesh is still weak, and he still does those things which he shouldn't do, and he leaves undone the things and he's torn apart because he knows in his spirit, he desires in his spirit to do what pleases God, but continually he fails. That's a Christian experience, isn't it? That's why we keep coming in repentance to God. It's not because we have to be re-saved every time we sin. If God's made you into a new creation, you are a new creation. But we come to Him asking forgiveness when we fall back, when we go back to that sin from which we have been freed. You are a new creature in Christ. You must, as someone who's been born again, do what pleases God. You must bear good fruit. And you think about this, what Jesus has told us here in this sermon, the blessings on the poor and those the hungry and the weeping, those who were cursing or blessing those who curse them, those who are loving their enemies, all these things that he's commanding you and telling you about, these are good things, these are good works, but how are you able to do these things in such a way that God is pleased with you? What kind of a person is going to do this? See, we can't just will ourselves into doing this. We can't just decide to do this on our own because we live before Christ in bondage to sin. You think even of the golden rule. Children, you know what the golden rule is? Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Can a non-believer do that? Sort of, right? They can do what they would like to be done to them. But is it going to be good? Is following the golden rule going to be good for someone who's a non-believer? When I worked in the trades, there were some of my coworkers who wished all sorts of evil things would be done to them. Their desires were wicked. And so when they desired that their neighbor's wife would be immoral with them. Well, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, that suddenly it's not a good thing anymore. You see, these are rules for believers to live by. You must have your desires changed. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If it's not done from a heart that has been changed and aligned with God's desires, it's going to be evil. You see, Jesus is preaching the gospel here. He's telling you, this is what the bar is. This is what you are to do. But he's telling you, this, you're not able to keep it. He says that the bar is God himself. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do what God does. He set the bar at the actions, the nature of God. That's what your bar is. That's the bar of goodness and righteousness. He says, you can't do this if you're an evil tree. You have to come to Christ. In him alone can you be changed from what is evil into what is good. To do what is good in God's sight, you must be born again. And if you are born again, you must do what pleases God. Jesus leads you to himself as a sure foundation. He says in this section that everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. This is a true disciple. Someone who comes to Christ. Someone who listens to what he has to say and then implements it in his life. Someone who has been changed from the rotten tree bearing rotten fruit into the good tree. The one who comes to Christ in faith, hearing his words and doing them. So Jesus here, he's telling you what people are, what they're like. When in this section, it's not talking about salvation. It's not talking about justification, that the one who's the house is not talking about laying a foundation of salvation, but how you obey as a disciple of Jesus. In this latter section, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what I tell you? These are people who are claiming to be disciples, that are claiming to follow him. He said, why are you not doing what I've told you to do? You call me Lord, Master, but you're not acting like it. If I'm your Lord, then why aren't you doing what I tell you? Human is in that system where you would have had a system of slave owners, of masters, and you would have the servants. And if the master said to do something, the servant knew that he better get going on that right away. Because it wasn't going to go well for a servant that disobeyed. A lousy servant would not be well treated. And they understood that in those times. And we can maybe make an analogy to work today. If you go into work and do nothing that your employer tells you to do, if you ignore everything he says and just sleep on the job, what's going to happen to you? You get fired. It's not going to go well with you. Your pay is going to get cut. So Jesus says, why do you call me Lord if you're not going to act like I'm your Lord? If you're born again, if you're a good tree, you must be bearing good fruit. We've been going through this in the evenings a few weeks ago when we were going through 1 John. 1 John, it talked a lot about that. That's how you know someone loves him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments in John 13. And in 1 John, he says, in 1 John chapter 2, we've gone over this And quite a few times in the evenings, if you've been with us for the evening sessions. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So Jesus is teaching you, how do you walk in the same manner as Jesus walked? Well, he's giving you some examples of how to do that. Loving your enemies. Blessing those who curse. Being generous and giving of yourself. Being merciful as the Father is merciful. Forgiving. Not judging, standing in judgment and condemning. But being forgiving. If the fruit is still bad, if there is no good fruit, it indicates that the tree is simply trying to act like a good tree. Like a fig tree that Jesus went to and had no figs on it. It looked all leafy. It looked like it should have figs, but there was no fruit on it. It was just an imposter. If the fruit is still bad, it indicates the unchanged nature of the tree. You see, you can speak fluently in Christian terms. You can go online and chat in the Christian forums and speak Christianese fluently. You can say all the right terms. You can argue the finest points of Calvinism. But if the heart's not changed, if there's no fruit, the words prove meaningless. You can say all you want, but unless the heart is changed. In the book of James, it says even the demons believe God and they shudder. There has to be something different about you. And Jesus, remember, he's here telling about how the citizens of his kingdom are going to act. There is going to be something different about them. We read how he says even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the world does that. You have to have different fruit than the world because you belong to him. Not because it saves you. You bear different fruit because you're different at the core. In James chapter 2, he says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. You can only be saved, you can only be changed through Jesus Christ, through the work of God. But you must bear good fruit as the people of God, as someone who has been born again. If you're already a believer, Jesus is calling you to obedience. He is calling you to live, act as he acted, to be merciful as your Father is merciful, to live different than the world. To do these good things, not for your salvation, but because of who he has made you. Because you're united to Christ, in his death you have died to sin. So don't live in them any longer. You must do what pleases him. You must have fruit. Every believer bears good fruit. The question is, how much? What's the quality of that good fruit? You look at an orchard that hasn't been tended, that hasn't been cultivated or fertilized. There's still apples on those trees, but the apples aren't that great. They're small and sour. They're still apples. Every believer has good works. There's There is no such thing as a carnal Christian that is saved but doesn't do works that please God. But then you look at the orchard that is cultivated, it's kept, it's fertilized, it's watered, and you see the fruit growing and increasing and getting better quality. Just think of Psalm 1. What is the man like that follows God? Turn over to Psalm 1. The man who walks, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the seat of scoffers. What is his delight in? His delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, on God's word, he meditates day and night. And what is he like? He's like a tree planted by canals of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither. You have to be different as a believer. You have to bear good fruit because of what Christ has done in you. If you're not a believer, if you do not know Christ, Jesus is calling you to himself. You by nature, as I've shown you from Scripture, by nature you do not do what is pleasing to God. You don't do what is good if you're outside of Christ. You can't. Your works, even your best works, don't rise to the level of righteousness. So Jesus calls to you. Come. Come to him in faith. If you don't, if you die in your sins, you will stand in judgment. Everyone will stand in judgment. And if you're outside of Christ, the only thing that awaits is punishment in hell without end. You can't escape on your own. You can only escape if you're found in Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness. People are not basically good. None of us are born as good trees with varied fruit. We come into this world as bad trees, thorn bushes, brambles, doing what displeases God. Rotten trees bearing rotten fruit. But Jesus Christ died and rose again and ascended into heaven so that you might be reborn and set free from the rottenness, the rotten fruit. In him and in him alone can you be remade into a good tree bearing good fruit. But it's not enough just to look or sound like a good tree. You must bear good fruit. It's not enough just to say that you're a believer. You must prove what sort of tree you are by your actions. For those who are in Christ and doing what he commands, he says, have a solid, immovable foundation. No matter what comes, no matter what persecution may batter you, no matter what the politics are, no matter what you face, those who are in Christ Jesus and bearing good fruit and following him, he says, they'll stand firm, come what may. The floods may rise, there may be flash floods that batter that house, and it won't fall down because it's secure in him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that you would be with us. Help us to be bearing good fruit. That if there are any here who are still bad trees bearing bad fruit, that you would change them. That by your Spirit, through the work of Jesus Christ, you would change the heart. For us who are in Christ Jesus, help us to be renewed
in our zeal for producing good fruit, to work righteousness, to obey the words that he said here, to be merciful, to love, to lend, to give. Lord, help us to be forgiving and giving. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.